is up, bros, and welcome to the All Bros Podcast. I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are a couple of bros on a mission to give you guys the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. Welcome to the All Bros. This week on the podcast, we got one thing to talk about in Weekly Watch. Apparently, I'm the only one that was cool and actually watched something this week. No offense,
dude,
Caleb.
No, dude, I've been knocking out some shows that I've been trying to catch up on. Like, I've been watching the second season of My Adventures with Superman.
Okay.
Which is, it's been pretty good so far. What else have I been watching? Been watching The Boys. Been catching up on Sweet Tooth. There's another show that was... Oh, I watched this anime on Netflix called Blood of Zeus. And that actually was a pretty bitchin' show.
Okay.
Very mythologically accurate.
Well, that's always nice to hear.
Yeah, so freaking love that. Oh, gosh, there was another one I wanted to bring up. I'll remember it in a second. Okay. Probably.
But then after we talk about Weekly Watch, then we'll be moving into our headliner of the evening, which will be our breakdown of the best animated film of 2024, The Garfield movie. Don't listen to Caleb. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
No, Rose doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah, this one's going to be fun. We're going to have a lot of fun discussing this one. But anyway... Caleb, what do you say we get started?
I say, let's do it.
Need motivation? Angry Dad Podcast. Trying to jumpstart your life? Angry Dad Podcast. You want help getting off the couch? Angry Dad Podcast. You need a verbal kick in the ass? Angry Dad Podcast. You want to hear from somebody who's been through it all? Angry Dad Podcast. I am here for you. You can find me on all podcast platforms.
All right, so starting off with... I almost forgot what we called this.
Jeez, man. You're absolutely fired.
Shut up. Starting off with Weekly Watch. I will say, okay, so one thing that, so only watched one movie this week, but I feel the biggest reason for me is I'm really trying to finish Young Sheldon. I'm almost there. I'm in the middle of season 5.
Bro!
I'm not looking forward to the ending.
Oh my gosh. They ended so shitty, dude. Like in a good,
wait, what?
Like a good way, like a good shitty.
I was like, I've seen, okay, like spoiler alert. I've seen how it ends. Like I've seen the, okay. Not going to say anything, but it's, I've seen like the last episode and freaking like, especially, the mom, like her freaking, like her, like monologue that she has, like I freaking lost it. Like, oh my God. Like,
dude, amazing. You will cry because it almost got me a couple times.
Yeah, okay. I'm not ready.
Dude,
for how much I love Young Sheldon, I'm not ready. Yeah. I never thought that I'd love a spin-off series more than what the original show was. Cause I honestly think Young Sheldon better than The Big Bang Theory. I'm sorry.
It is.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad I'm not the only one that thinks that.
Yeah, definitely a hot take there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's better.
Yeah. I saw this funny thing that, you know, because, you know, Ian Armitage, you play Sheldon, like, you know, hit puberty from like hit it hard season 5 through 7. I heard somewhere that like Jim Parsons like tried to like deepen his voice a little bit when doing the voiceovers from those seasons on. Yeah. Because he's just like, oh shit. Okay. Like he doesn't sound as high pitched as me anymore. But I mean, like we all knew that was going to happen. Like I remember seeing like so many comments like, oh wow, his voice got so deep. Like it changed so much. Yeah. No shit. The kid hit puberty. Sheldon's going to hit puberty. Like, is anyone like really that shocked by this?
Yeah. Like it's not calm very down, many guys. People whose voices get higher when they hit puberty like Jim Parsons did.
Yeah. So Calm down, guys. It's okay.
Shit, dude. Something crazy that I learned. So you know Steve Burns being in the show, right?
Like everyone's character.
He's one of like the comic book fanatics, like fans that.
Yeah. I just saw the episode where he goes with Sheldon to that Star Trek Comic Con.
Yeah. I thought it was like a weird, like kind of like an odd thing that they just kind of had him in the show.
Yeah.
Like randomly, like I was just like, that's odd cameo. I didn't realize he is the singer for the theme song.
No shit.
His band.
He sings Mighty Little Man?
Yep. His band does the theme song.
Oh, that's bitching.
Yeah. Oh, I was just so like, cool. What an odd cameo. But awesome. Like someone's like, oh yeah, well he's in the show because he sings the theme song, and I was like, bullshit.
There's like so many like characters in Young Sheldon. I'm just like, I wish that they would have been. I wish they would have been mentioned in The Big Bang Theory. Some are, but some are introduced after The Big Bang Theory had already ended. But like you could tell, like there are some characters that were clearly very important in Sheldon's life. And so I would have expected him to like mention them. Like, I feel like especially Dr. Linkletter and Dr. Sturgis, he would have at least talked about them once, but whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting on to the movie that I actually watched. Excuse me. Okay. I'm good. So just added to Netflix recently, or at least I'm pretty sure it's recently, Big Fat Liar, one of my favorite movies from when I was a kid. Me and my sister used to watch this all the freaking time. Like I'm honestly surprised that it just got scratched to shit. Because I remember the DVD of this, like it would never like keep in the case, like the snap thing broke. And so like we had to be like so delicate with like putting it back on the shelf and everything, but it still got like scratched to shit.
As it does.
Yeah, right. So this DVD went through hell for how much we watched it. But yeah, I love this movie so much, and I enjoyed it just as much as I did the first time on this rewatch. These three, Amanda Bynes, Frankie Muniz, and Paul Giamatti, are just amazing. Paul Giamatti especially, like, boy brings his A game to this. Like the fact that he was willing to get painted blue, orange hair, like my man is amazing for that. Like, freaking love Giamatti.
There's nothing I've seen him in that is hell. Okay, there's shit that I've seen him in that's bad, but it's never been him. He's always the best part of whatever he's in.
Exactly. But like, just yeah, like he, like I said, he brings his A game. Frankie Muniz, this was definitely when he was like about to hit his like huge spotlight when it came to him being a star in Hollywood. Because I'm pretty sure after this came Cody Banks, Agent Cody Banks. Then of course, like before, during this, he was working on Malcolm in the Middle. And yeah, he, one of my favorite, kid actors, along with Amanda Bynes, both of them are amazing in this. And just, yeah, like it's still such a fun movie, and the soundtrack. Oh my God. Like if y'all are late 90s, early 2000s kids, millennials, especially millennials, like yeah, this soundtrack just like screams your childhood,
dude. It's freaking bitching. It is such a good soundtrack. Like there's not, I remember this movie pretty vividly, and it's been years since I've watched it.
It was
movies like this movie, Blank Check, Richie Rich. It's like those movies where kids just have the ability to do whatever the shit they want. And it's incredible. Like when they go to stay in that one warehouse, I remember that being like, I want that in my life.
Dude, yeah, freaking, especially that like Velcro wall that Amanda Bynes' character jumped on. That looked so much fun, just wearing like a Velcro suit and like
jumping. Oh my gosh, the Velcro wall.
Then for like all the awesome freaking movie props. Yeah, I think he had a raptor from Jurassic Park, all like the Grinch costume and one of the Grinch cars. Like, I wanted to live in that room.
Dude, I can't think of a single kid that didn't.
Right? Like, seriously. Yeah, if you were a movie nerd like we were, yeah. That was your dream. But yeah, just I love this movie. It's so much fun. But I feel because like it's a lot more fun getting, you know, a group of friends together, like on just like, you know, fun night, like reliving childhood memories with this, because I know a lot of you have watched this movie as a kid and I feel that you would just love to remember this movie and just watch it with hopefully people you grew up, but you know, if you didn't grow up with them, it's fun to watch it with adult friends now too. Me and Caleb feel that it is definitely recommended watching it at home, stream it, because I feel it's a lot more fun to watch it with a group and just freaking laugh your ass off on what Paul Giamatti's character has put through.
Oh yeah, dude, I remember the absolute hype anytime this was coming to being viewed on or being released on TV.
Oh yeah,
because
I can't remember. Was it streamed on? Was it put on Nickelodeon or Disney Channel?
I want to say this. Dude, that I was thinking that too. Like, is this a Disney movie?
Yeah, I don't know who distributed it.
By Universal.
Okay, if that's the case, then it probably went to Nickelodeon then.
Yeah, I want to say that too. And then Cody Banks,
I think that's Disney.
20th Century. So yeah, that would have gone to Disney. Oh yeah, Hilary Duff was in that. So yeah, he. Okay, yeah. But freaking hell, dude! Like there weren't very many like big cin, like what I would call a cinematic event in our day, and those were the freaking movies that were the bomb.com. Like, anytime dude, that they're just like, oh, check this out, like. Big Fat Liar, I'm getting overwhelmed with my words. That's why I'm like stuttering so bad, just because I remember how hyped I was for that shit, dude.
Seriously, like freaking watching this, I remember how like freaking like the trailer in this movie that Frankie Muniz and Amanda Bynes see for Big Fat Liar when they're in the theater. I don't know about you, but that shit gets me hyped. I want to see this version of Big Fat Liar, the actual one that Marty Wolf made. Like that trailer, right? Like that trailer gets you freaking hyped.
Yeah, it does. Oh man, this is a great movie.
Like Marty Wolf sucks. He's an asshole. But the guy can throw together a really good trailer. I will give him that.
Yep.
But yeah, Big Fat Liar, stream it. Love it to this day.
Hell yeah.
But that is it for weekly watch. So Caleb, what do you say we get on to our headliner?
I say let's do it.
All right, so really quickly, I think it's crazy to me that, you know, this is called the Garfield movie, but we've also had Garfield the movie.
Yeah, it's just, there's not too many variations on that you could have. The only other alternative is just Garfield.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, they haven't done a Garfield movie yet.
That'd be so dumb.
Yeah, it would be very dumb. But anyway, Caleb, before we jump into this review, do you want to let everybody know how we break down and score movies on this podcast?
I would love to. If you are new to our breakdown system, we have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The categories that we score are story, writing, acting, character development, effects, but with this one being an animated movie, we're going to be discussing the animation, then the music. And then once again, there are no costumes in this, so we're going to be talking about the character design. And then we will be given our own personal score at the very end. All of those numbers will get magically added up and spit through our algorithm and give us a letter grade to compare this movie to others of a similar grade. So without further ado, if you have not seen the Garfield movie,
wait till it comes on Netflix. Yeah, exactly. You really want to watch it. Wait till Netflix.
Yeah. But yeah, we're about to spoil the entire freaking movie for you. So we will be posting that spoiler warning now. And if you choose to listen beyond this point and anything spoiled for you, sucks to suck. But you'll probably be fine.
if you really are that disappointed about the Garfield movie being spoiled for you, I think
grow
really
up
that, and I think you really need to look at who you are as a movie fan, like what movies you're really invested in. Cause no, just no.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's spoil the shit out of the Garfield movie.
Yep. So Rose is about to read the entire synopsis in our favorite segment we like to call Reading with Rose. So take all right.
Garfield is an obese sedentary. The fuzz that.
I have no idea.
Not off the top of my head. I'm sorry. I gotta look.
That's a strange word to use it. Sedentary.
It means tending to spend much time seated, somewhat inactive.
That's so stupid.
I mean, they're not wrong, but why would you use that in the bio of a kid's movie?
Yeah. Dude, what the shit? That's
all right. Whoever wrote this, you're getting a little too sophisticated for Garfield.
It's a Garfield movie, you freak.
Oh, man.
Sedentary. Dude, get the hell out of here.
That's amazing. All right. Garfield is an obese, sedentary orange tabby cat who lives an average pampered lifestyle with his beagle dog best friend Odie and their owner John Arbuckle. One night while getting a midnight snack, Garfield and Odie are abducted by two dogs named Roland and Nolan, who take them to an abandoned mall as prisoners. Garfield and Odie are soon rescued by Garfield's estranged father, Vic, whom Garfield hates for abandoning him in an alley when he was a kitten. The dog's boss, Jinx, a deranged Persian cat, arrives to exact revenge on Vic for leaving her behind during a milk heist at Lactose Farms before she was caught and imprisoned. She agrees to forgive Vic if he, Garfield, and Odie break into Lactose Farms to steal a large quantity of milk as extortion for her imprisonment, which they reluctantly agree while Roland and Nolan closely observe them. The following morning, John notices Garfield and Odie's disappearance, but has trouble finding people to help search for them. Freight hopping a train to Lactose Farms, Vic attempts to bond with Garfield to no avail, as the latter refuses to engage with him. The three reach the farm, which is heavily guarded by an advanced security system. They meet Otto, a bull, and the farm's former mascot, who was kicked out after a corporation took over the farm, separating him from his cow girlfriend, Ethel. They agree to help Ethel out. To help get Ethel out of the farm if he helps them break in. Sorry, being stupid. There we go. While preparing for the heist, Garfield and Vic frequently clash with each other, forcing Odie and Otto to tie up the father and son to a tree. During a heated argument, Vic for Lonely reveals that on the night he abandoned him, he was actually getting food for Garfield across the alley, but took too long returning to him. When he finally did, he saw him being taken care of by John in the Italian restaurant he wandered off to. Reluctantly accepting that John would be a better provider than he ever could, Vic decided to let him adopt Garfield and kept his distance from his son. Finally, understanding the circumstances, Garfield forgives his dad. Meanwhile, Jinx, who reveals to have lied about letting go of her grudge against Vic, secretly calls the Relentless Farms animal control officer, Marge Malone, to inform her of the upcoming heist. The trio successfully infiltrate the farm and circumvent the factory's dangerous equipment, but Marge intercepts them at the end and captures Garfield and Odie. Vic reluctantly leaves them behind despite his son's pleas, stealing the milk truck and successfully delivering it to Jinx, only to be betrayed and captured by her. A heartbroken and confused Garfield and Odie are taken to the pound, where they meet Vic's old crew. However, they have long distanced themselves from him as he was constantly leaving their capers to check up on Garfield, watching from afar whenever he visits him, but Garfield refuses to believe them. John soon arrives to bail Garfield and Odie out and takes them home. Returning to his normal life, Garfield finds Vic's tally marks on a tree across the house that the cat crew told him about, realizing that Vic does love him and only left him behind at the dairy to keep him safe. After having flashbacks of his old life and with his faith in his father restored, Garfield decides to go back and save him, learning that Jinx intends to throw Vic off the canyon, and high bridge from a train. With Otto's help, Garfield and Odie arrive to rescue him, only to eventually fail. However, seeing Vic's genuine love for his son, Roland and Nolan turn on Jinx. Enraged, Jinx pushes the quartet off the train before she herself gets knocked off by an overpass that derails the entire train. Otto swings a rope to catch them all and safely lands them on a net set up by Odie. They later return to the farm by the milk truck and bring in Jinx to Marge in exchange for Ethel's release, finally reuniting her with Otto. The reformed Roland and Nolan begin working as guard dogs for Marge, while Jinx ends up working community service. Returning to John's house, Garfield finally reconciles with Vic, who moves in with the trio, officially becoming part of his son's life. Oh, and just in case you guys wanted to know, they do tease a sequel at the end. It's really dumb. But if you stay for all the credits, there's a comic strip, you know, like a classic Garfield comic strip. And it's just like, oh, what are you still doing here? Oh, I bet you're waiting for a sequel, aren't you? And he gets like an excited face. I'm like, please, God, no. We don't need a sequel.
Dude. No, thank you.
Maybe if you actually do a story that makes sense for Garfield, I might be on board. Probably not, but.
Oh my gosh. Dude, you want to hear something that's freaking stupid? Why in the hell would you have in the entirety of the credits, all you have are like these random pictures of the freaking bull and cow?
Yeah, you think that you'd want, like, personally, I mean, you know, I'm sorry, I did not care about the whole father-son thing with Garfield and Vic. I could give two shits.
Yeah, that was so dumb.
But it would have been made more sense if the pictures during the credits were them spending time with each other, you know, like having some father-son moments. I don't give a shit about the bull and the cow.
Yeah, like they weren't even a freaking C story for all I care. They were like E story.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, because the main story was Vic trying to get the milk for like to pay off his debts and then just kind of like bringing Garfield into that. The B story would be the father-son relationship. The C story, I would say, is freaking John trying to figure out where the hell Garfield is. Then the D story is the freaking security lady that takes your job way too seriously.
Dude, and I don't know about you, but I got
the E story and the cow.
Yeah. with that security lady, I don't know about you, but I got like major that. Do you remember Madagascar 3? Or have you seen Madagascar 3?
Yes.
The security, or the police chief from that movie.
Yep.
Like freaking, she reminded me so much of her.
Dude, she also, her and the freaking cop from The Nice Guys. Nope.
Oh, yeah.
The bad guys.
Oh, that, I was like, wait, The Nice Guys, is that the,
yep, that's that
wrong, the movie?
Wrong movie.
That is not a kid's movie.
Nope. That is absolutely not a kid's movie.
No, it's a great movie, but guys. It's not a kid's movie.
Yeah, The Bad Guys.
Oh,
but just, holy shit, dude. It was, yeah, like of all the things that were on my list for that, like I could have cared two shits about the damn bull and cow. Yeah.
Like when they're just like, oh yeah, this is how we're gonna sneak, Otto's gonna be the one that's gonna help us sneak in just so we can get his love of his life back. I'm like, I don't give a shit. But I haven't given a shit since you left John's house.
Yeah. Dude, they could have had so many like good antics. Like, this is just, I mean, starting off, just getting straight into the story. The reason this story doesn't work as well as they want it to is because Garfield has things happen to him. He is not an active participant in the things going on around him.
Exactly.
He just offers sarcastic commentary to the things that are going on around him and occasionally gets like thrown into a crazy situation just because he's sitting there. He doesn't actively do anything. But in this movie, he was doing nothing but actively doing shit.
Yeah, like it didn't feel like the first 20 minutes. Yeah, that felt like Garfield. I really enjoyed the first 20. Yeah, the first 20 minutes I was really enjoying, like best part of the movie. It's just when it gets into everything at what once Odie and Garfield get kidnapped, the movie lost me more and more.
Yeah. Dude, the Garfield isn't a character that works well with feature films.
Yeah, you think they would have caught on to that with, you know, the two live action movies that came before this. And I can't believe I'm saying this. The first live action Garfield movie I feel is better than this. And I mean, this movie is still better than, the story is still better than Tale of Two Kitties, but that's not a high bar. But I feel at least in the live action one, while I feel that it still felt a little bit like Garfield, a little bit, like not fully, that movie fully did not understand Garfield, but at least it's
closer.
Still, yeah. It still felt like a story that made sense for the cat. My big, like, I will give this movie credit for the fact that I like that the relationship between Garfield and Odie is how it should be in this movie.
Exactly how it should be.
Garfield has he does not, like, I get why Garfield hates Odie so much in the first live action movie, because, you know, it's the first time he's meeting him. That's just, you know, how they met. And then, you know, as the movie ends, you know, they actually form the relationship that they actually do have. But I like with this one that we're already at that point, that Odie is already basically Garfield's right hand man. That's just how it is. And so that's why I liked the first 20 minutes so more. You got the first 20 minutes so much. You got some really nice moments with John, some like freaking him, like in Garfield's first meeting. That was such a sweet moment in the restaurant. That was so great. And just all the scenes with Garfield and Odie with, okay, wait, really quickly. Don't get me started on freaking the product placement in this goddamn movie. Like freaking like it, the movie literally starts on a freaking phone screen. Like what the shit was that?
Yep.
That was some bullshit. But you literally start the movie with Garfield ordering on DoorDash, or their version of DoorDash, whatever. And like, you know, many people would make the argument, oh, well, you know, they want to make Garfield for this generation, you know, be able to resonate with this generation. I'm just like, I don't think Garfield has the energy to use the phone. Like, I feel it's a little too complicated for him, isn't it?
Dude, I feel like if you're wanting to get into laziness, I think that's the route to go. I didn't have too much of an issue with that. Like, because of course that's he orders that's delivery.
Fair enough.
I think he could have played it up. Like maybe he was like dictating to Odie and Odie was the one doing the ordering. Like like taking the laziness just to a whole other level of just like, he's even too lazy to use an app to order his food. He gets Odie to order the food for him.
See. Okay. All right. I'm going to reword my argument here. Cause okay. Yeah. Garfield is clearly smart enough to use a phone. Like I don't know why I said that, but I do think it would have been funnier with your idea that Odie is the one that's ordering and freaking Garfield is just telling him everything to order. That would have been freaking hilarious and just proves Odie's placement when it comes to him and Garfield's relationship.
Yeah. Dude, I think the only real issue that I had with Odie and Garfield's relationship was I feel like Garfield was just a little too nice to Odie.
That's fair.
That's like my only complaint, but them being friends kind of like almost like on a team against Vic made sense.
Oh yeah. 100%. What was I going to say? I'm sorry. Bringing up the whole like DoorDash shit that even like ties into the ending battle when freaking Garfield orders takeout for lasagna and freaking like a salad or some shit from this Italian restaurant. Oh, pizza. Lasagna and pizza from this Italian restaurant that he always orders from. And this the drones that deliver this food help them defeat Jinx and her oh my God. I forget her two henchmen, but whatever. The horse and Jasper of cats. What the hell is this movie?
It was too much is what it was.
Yeah, it really was. And it sucks because like, I know I keep talking about like the first 20 minutes, but it's the best part of this movie because this is actually Garfield. This is what I want. I want to see Garfield. I want to see Odie. I want to see John. I want to see simple stories like this. Just Garfield and Odie chilling out with John in his house. Garfield bossing Odie around. Like, yeah, I'm sure people would just be like, yeah, but that's boring. I'm like, that's not boring to me. That's what I love to see with Garfield.
This is exactly why Garfield doesn't work for a feature film in any capacity. I don't think even the best person that would be able to understand Garfield, like that, anyone who understands Garfield knows that he doesn't work for a feature film because you have to have a conflict and you have to have a resolution. Garfield doesn't have any of that.
Yeah.
Garfield's a lazy little shit cat that hates Mondays. And like the reason I feel his comics were so successful is because they were short.
Yep.
And that's exactly what I feel Garfield, where he would thrive. Garfield would thrive as a short that you throw, like as a series of shorts. Kind of like the I Am Groot series, like 7 minutes, 10 minutes, like 15 minutes max of something of Garfield doing lazy shit.
Yeah. And I know that there have been, like, there have been plenty of Garfield shows over the years, and I've heard those are pretty good. And that just proves your point. Garfield only makes sense in small increments like that. A freaking 20 minute episode. With commercials, that's perfect. That's all we need.
Yeah. Otherwise, you start getting into, like, you can't have an hour and a half film of your main character doing nothing. Yeah. You could probably get away with that, like, how we pointed out, for the first 20 minutes, and then you kind of have to make your character do something.
Yeah.
Or have something happen to your character. And that's where the route that I thought it was going to go, like that things were just going to keep happening to him. And he was going to be dragged around on this adventure, and he was just going to be doing some like lazy shit. And like I said, smart alecky commentary.
Yeah.
That's what I was hoping we would have gotten. Yeah, but we didn't. We got a lot of stuff happening to Garfield, or a lot of stuff that he was actively participating in.
Yeah. And for like, I feel when they decided on to make a Garfield movie, they're just like, okay, we got the first 20 minutes. This is great. This is classic Garfield. But how the hell do we, what do we do with the other hour and 10 minutes that we got? And they, Sony looked through their shelves to see what stories that hadn't been told. Didn't matter if it was, you know, if it was planned for a kid's movie or any movie like that. They found some of theirs like, ooh, yeah, we're never going to use this for anything else. Let's turn that into a Garfield movie. Let's make that a Garfield storyline.
Yeah. Dude, there was missed opportunities with this. Oh, I feel like you could have very easily what is the name of John's Liz. This is what like the movie could have been. This is what the movie could have been. John getting together with Liz, not paying enough attention to Garfield, Odie just kind of being the wingman, and then Liz also bringing in Normal.
Yes.
And watching Garfield deal with that shit. That's all you need.
That is a perfect storyline for a Garfield movie.
Yeah, just watching Garfield get the absolute shit annoyed out of him by Normal.
Love that so much. Yeah, dude, such bullshit. Liz was only in two scenes.
Dude, what was that?
Yeah.
I'm like, if they're already dating, like, I guess that's fine. No, they weren't even dating.
No.
Like, this is bullshit. Like, damn, they messed this up so bad.
Yes, they did.
I had a tough time with this story. I'll say this, though. The story that they did have, minus Garfield, like, if you just have this as a, like, generic cat movie, it's not horrible. Like it's kind of fun. Like I think the villain in this was really interesting, and I like the dog bodyguard duo. Like I thought the stuff they did with them was hilarious.
But yeah, that was funny.
So yeah, I liked a lot of that stuff, and it kept Iris's interest fairly well. So I mean, there's a benefit there. Like it was good enough. It's just, as someone that understands Garfield a bit better, it was kind of trash.
Yeah, it sure didn't keep the interest of the guy sitting next to me.
Well,
I really quickly, I just want to. Oh, did I not tell you my experience with Garfield?
No, you said you were waiting until.
Oh yeah. Okay. So I think I saw this on, like, the Saturday it came out, and you know, I saw it at Orem Cinemark, and you know, I was hoping that, you know, like, a lot of people didn't want to see Garfield, which I was wrong. It was like the only kids movie out. So yeah, of course a lot of families were going, which nothing wrong with that. That's, you know, it's awesome.
Dude, but I always forget it's summer.
Right. Yeah, dude, same. So I had to have a seat all the way at the end, so that sucked. I freaking hate sitting at the end for movies, but whatever. And then the people sitting next to me, it was a father, a daughter, and the mother. The daughter, honestly, she was my favorite, because all she did during the movie was she got up a couple times, so, you know, like, maybe just like jump around a little bit, stretch her legs. Totally fine. It's a kids movie. completely get it. The mother, and she never left with the daughter. The mother got up like 6 times during the movie. Like, I don't know what was going on with her. I hope she was okay. But the dad, halfway through the movie, must have just gotten bored as shit, because for the rest of the movie, he was on his phone.
What an asshole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dude, if there's a episode that we need to have, it's freaking theater etiquette.
Dude, like, seriously. Like, and the whole time I'm thinking, like, dude, you spent tickets alone, $30, and you also got concessions. After they left, I saw a packaging for like the Garfield blanket that they had. So that was probably like 15 alone. So you spent like $60 to bring your family to the movie. Actually, probably more than that.
Definitely more than that. Yeah. I ended up spending, I want to say $40 for me and Iris when we went to go see Inside Out.
Really? Damn.
I shit you not. It was two tickets. It was on a discount Tuesday too. So the only thing that we got was a large popcorn, a drink for me, and an icy. And then the tickets, it all came down to like $40. And I was like, shit.
Because I know sometimes theaters are known for this, and it might be studios too. Did you double check to make sure that you did get charged like the $5 for $5 Tuesday? Because sometimes if it's a new release, they'll still charge you regular matinee.
I still have the receipt.
It's dumb. Like, oh, even though it's, you know, discount Tuesday, because this movie just came out this past weekend, we're going to still charge you regular price.
It does not say.
Huh. Interesting.
All it says is discounts on this transaction, $1.50. I'm like, that's.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that you had to have paid then full price ticket for that.
Probably, but I wasn't going to freaking dispute it. There was a long ass freaking line.
Damn, man, $40. Jeez.
Yeah, it was rough.
Damn, man, I'm sorry.
It is what it is. I always expect, like, anytime I go to a movie, I always expect to pay about $50. Unless I'm going by myself, then I like cut that in half. Like, that's the that's the number that I'm like, I'm okay spending going to a movie.
Okay.
Like, as long as I'm going with someone. So like, if I go out with my wife, like, that's the number, 50. So with her, like, it was 40. It was higher than I was like expecting it to be, but it's still within what I was planning on spending.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, because even if it doesn't come out to that, like, even if it's like way less than that, I'm usually like, okay, well, we'll go get food after, or do this, do that. This time I was just like, all right, no food after this movie.
Oh, man.
But yeah, dude, if there's a freaking TikTok that we need to make, it is theater freaking etiquette. Because people do not know how to act in movie theaters.
No. No, they do not. Once those lights go down, your phone goes in your pocket, and you shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Easy as that.
You laugh at the appropriate times. Like, when a joke is had, even at, like, I'll even say, like, mildly amusing, I'll give you a laugh. Like, you can laugh, you can cry, you can have any of these reactions, as long as you're, like, being quiet about it. Like, don't be, like, openly weeping. Like, having, like, a freaking emotional breakdown in the theater. Like, go have that somewhere else. Out. Huh?
I feel called out.
Yeah, but, and then, like, same thing with laughing. Like, laugh appropriately. like, don't be just like in the back, just go like too much. If you like, kids get a pass for damn near anything as long as it's a kid's movie.
Yes.
100%. Adults don't get passes for shit.
Yeah.
You can bring in blankets. You can bring in whatever. Do not remove articles of clothing unless it's like a jacket. If you take your shoes off, I will personally chop your feet off of your body.
Oh man. Yeah, Caleb had some fun experience with that.
Yeah, and she like this one chick was being freaking gross about it too.
Yeah.
She was like messing with her toes like during a movie. I'm like, ew. Yeah, and then like and it's not even that. I'm like, if you have like if you're wearing flip-flops, I'll give you a pass. You can take those off. But it can't be more difficult than it can't be more difficult than a slip-on situation. Yeah. If you have to untie your shoes to take your shoes off, don't take your goddamn shoes off.
And if the socks come off, oh my god!
If the socks come off, you're getting a freaking karate chop to the throat, my friend. You're lucky you don't get thrown over the next two aisles. Like, I'm going outside, grabbing a stone and showing you what the Rock is cooking.
Oh man. Okay, if anyone does that for Moana 2, can you please do that?
Yeah, I'll dude, if someone's acting up in a theater and someone like stands up and like beats them, I will 100% like testify that they did nothing wrong.
Dude, you'll be applauding from your seat.
Yeah, I'd be like, you can come sit with me, good friend.
Be like that one lady in Shrek. The chair, give him the chair.
That bitch is trying to run. Get her.
Oh shit.
Oh my gosh, dude. There's nothing I hate more than people that don't know how to act in a theater. Oh my gosh. Speaking of, I don't know if I did I tell you about my experience at, I think it was Inside Out.
No, but I got one for you too. So yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. This is a tangent among tangents, dude. Okay. There is this chick. Or so me and Iris, I like to sit as like in the far back, like closest to the entrance as I can with her without being in the front row and having to like look straight up. But I'll sit as close to the entrance as I can. We were sitting in the back row. And no, like there was no one in the, like in the back row, or like there was like, we got to like choose our seats. And so I chose like the back row. That was totally fine. But then some chick came in who was all types of bitching and complaining, not to me, but to her family. And like that. So I'm trying to be as sensitive about this as I can, but I feel like I'm going to be unable to. So this chick is in a wheelchair. I believe, based off of the context of the bitching that was going on, I have the feeling that she is new to this wheelchair. And as far as I could tell, she still had movement in her legs. This is all assumptions that I was making. My assumption is that she recently became too fat to walk, and she is in a wheelchair, probably unnecessarily. But she was complaining that the whole back row was taken and that she couldn't sit with her family. And this is what her family were doing. She parked it on the row that we were on because it had like a little bit of space for wheelchairs. So she was just parked there and her family sat in front of her and she was having a full blown meltdown about it because she wants to sit with her family. And this is what clued me in that she's new to the wheelchair is because she was talking to her husband and she's just like, I'm just learning being in this chair that there's just not enough accommodations for people in wheelchair and all this, like going on and on. And so I'm sitting there and all of her kids are tall as shit. So like they're sitting in front of Iris and Iris can't freaking see over these behemoths. Again, I'm not going to be nice about this. None of her kids were that skinny either. It seemed like they were maybe heading down this wheelchair route. But she couldn't see. So I was like, I got up and I was like, okay, well, I have to move. Like my kid can't see the movie. And I started to move. And I told her, I'm like, hey, wasn't trying to overhear or anything, but this whole time she's bitching and complaining about the seating arrangement, not having proper wheelchair accessible seating where she can sit with the rest of her family and blah, blah. She goes as far as calling the freaking theater. And I'm like, you could literally roll your ass out there and talk to the manager.
Oh, good Lord.
And yeah, so she's having a freaking meltdown and I get up and I was just like, hey, we're moving if your family wants to move. And then she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, yeah, yeah, my kid can't see, so I don't care. And she was like making it such a big deal and trying to explain herself. And I was like, don't, there's no need for this conversation. Like, my kid cannot see. I had to move anyway. Like, I'm not doing this for you. If my kid was able to see, we would be staying right the hell here. And yeah, so she was just like being so bitchy about it. And I can't stand people that make their problems everyone else's problems. Unless there's like a very good reason for that. Like if this was someone that had spent their entire life in a wheelchair and was came in and there was no instantly readily available space for their chair, like absolutely complain away.
Yeah,
but you were bitching that your family was sitting in front of you instead of next to you. Go screw yourself, lady. I hope your brakes fail going down a hill.
Jeez.
Yeah, and then maybe then she'd freaking get out of that wheelchair because she'd have to freaking haul her own ass up that hill.
I was gonna say, do you hope a flower pot also falls from a windowsill and knocks her in the head like you would like to?
And don't listen. I don't want people to think like, oh, you don't know why she's in that wheelchair. I am 98% sure that it's because she was overweight, and this is the reason why. There was movement in her legs, like significant movement in her legs. She actually even stood up a little bit to reach for something behind her in the bag behind her chair. So I don't think it was that's my 98%. I'm like, maybe she just has the ability to stand, or it's just something along those lines. I don't know. I'm assuming this is all assumption on my part, and I am done complaining. I freaking hate that lady, and I hope I never see her again.
Oh shit.
She would have been one of the people that would have gotten the people's elbow in my dream fantasy world of theater justice.
Okay, damn. All right.
We went so far down a rabbit hole.
Oh, yes, man. We did.
What was your Inside Out?
Mine's not as good as yours. Like literally all that happened was my second viewing of Inside Out 2, and they forgot to turn off the overhead lights. They didn't realize until 2 minutes into the showing.
Man, I hate that.
Right? Yeah. And dude, what irritated me
with Sonic 2.
Dude, what irritated me more is because I feel like because, you know, like it's more of a, it's so this happened when I saw NXT. Like, because that's like the premium format, you know, you're paying extra for your ticket. I feel that's something that you guys should be more on top of than like the other like regular screenings. But that's just me.
I'll give you that.
And then, oh my God, there was this like couple next to the couple seats of next to me that one just kept chatting throughout. And then I think just because, you know, the lights hadn't dimmed, the husband just thought, oh, hey, I could still be on my phone right now. It's like, put that goddamn thing away.
Dude, I would fully endorse a sniper in movie theaters that if you're playing on your phone, like not just checking it, like if you have to check your phone real quick, you get a pass for that, but it better be quick. Like it better be that's it. Just a quick look and put it down or put it away. Whatever the case may be. If you are playing on your phone, I fully endorse a sniper to freaking take you, your freaking little sausages, take all that shit out.
Okay, but like we're thinking like tranquilizer dart, right? Like not actual. No.
Heavy artillery.
You know, man, I love you, but if you get canceled after this episode,
I might.
It was nice. It was nice doing this this podcast with you, man.
I know. Now I'm fully endorsed, like on the no gun laws. It feels like that's the route I'm heading down. No gun laws, and I've fat shamed.
Oh shit.
It's like, funny enough, this is the episode that becomes the most popular. It's like, well, shit.
God damn it.
Anyway, getting back to this story.
Yeah. Score. What are we thinking?
This, I'm sitting at a 75. I think it's a very average story overall.
Oh, dude, I'm so much lower.
Listen, I'm setting aside the fact that this is supposed to be Garfield. The reason
it's called the Garfield movie.
I know, but it's also a kids movie, and I'm being a little bit forgiving of that because it did have more entertainment value for children than If did.
All right, I'll give you that.
So my kid liked it enough. I didn't hate it. The only thing that I really hated was that it was not Garfield. If this was generic cat number one, this would have been something completely different. Like, I'd probably be closer to the 80s.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yes, like, I enjoyed the story. Like, it was just, what doesn't work about it is that it's supposed to be Garfield.
See, that's my biggest problem. The fact that it's supposed to be Garfield and it just isn't. It took me out of the movie many times. And for something that's called the Garfield movie, I expected a lot more. So story, I'm at a 65.
Fair enough. All right. Next up, we got writing. This is something I want to complain about. And I think this is the category to do this. There's a joke that I love, and I feel like they ruined it. So there's this scene, for those of you that haven't seen the movie, where Garfield and his father are kind of going, like having this back and forth on this train. And behind them, one of the gimmicks is that Odie is setting up this like sleeping space for Garfield. And so you see him like walking like in the background, just kind of walking back and forth with random objects. And it's funny just kind of watching Odie do this thing. But one of the bits is that you see Odie walk by, and then you see him walking past with this really long ass freaking like railroad light. And so you see him holding the edge, and then you're supposed to see him holding the other end, like in almost like in one shot. What ruined it is that because they were going back and forth between Garfield and his father, they cut to Garfield. You see Odie go back, grab the railroad light, and he walks about like halfway, and then it cuts to the dad, which is like you don't see Odie at all when you see the dad. And then it cuts back to Garfield, and then you see Odie walking with the light half. And I'm like, you ruined that joke. The joke's supposed to be that you see them both in one continuous shot. Like, that's the gimmick. And you, how do you mess that up? So,
especially in animation. Off. Like,
come I on. Know. And like, I don't even think the reason they cut to Vic was to get like a reaction. Cause Garfield was still talking during that bit with Vic. And then you see, and then it's like cuts to you see a little bit of a reaction, then back to Garfield, and then it finishes the gimmick. And I'm like, you've ruined a super funny gimmick. Because, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's something I feel like as a kid, like, I would have been like, wait, there's two of them. Like, that would have been funny. But it's just like, because they cut, it almost separates the two.
Yeah.
So, like, it's cutting a good joke in half where it didn't need to be cut in half, where you needed the whole joke in its entirety. And it pissed me off.
I'll tell you what, the only joke that I found funny, and it was in the trailer, so I had already laughed, but I still laughed at in the movie, was he's at the vet with John. He breaks the scale. Liz says, oh, we're going to need the big scale. He turns and breaks the fourth wall. Did she need to announce it to the whole office? Still funny, but that is the only joke that I remember laughing at in this movie.
There was a few things I remember laughing at. Not necessarily from Garfield, though. Like, a lot of the stuff that I laughed at was Odie. I loved Odie in this.
Odie was great.
He was easily my favorite character. Like, I loved him and his little gimmicks. Like, when that bowl was supposed to be training Garfield and Vic. Like, I thought that was, like, really funny. Like, Odie just kind of being the backup, like, the assistant. Like, freaking love that shit. And then just, like, seeing the background stuff that Odie would just instantly set up for Garfield. Like, the fact that he set up this whole sleeping space, I found that to be really funny, too.
Okay, yeah, I will give you that. That was funny.
Yeah, but this is another one. There were some jokes that I found amusing. Like, yeah. I liked... This is probably one that, like, it was so stupid that it's one of those jokes that it was just so stupid it made me laugh. The when the what's her face, Jinx, was calling the security at the farm and like talking and everything, and then the security people are just like. And then they put it on speaker and you just hear meow, 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 meow. I thought that was so freaking funny.
That was okay. I forgot about that whole scene. That was funny.
Yeah, because
that was actually pretty creative.
I don't know what made me think that the animals could talk in this universe. Like, I think it was just maybe like John reacted to something that Garfield said or did that made me think that he understood them. And then that just made me think, okay, well, obviously all the animals talk in this universe. So with that happened, I was just like, that's pretty funny. And then when she found the cat translating app, and it's just this deep dark voice, like, someone's going to break into the farm. Like, I thought that was super funny too. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that it was just like so stupid. It was funny, but I got a kick out of it. So I'm giving a couple bonus points to the writing, I'm putting it at 77. Other than that, it got to a point of being really wordy.
Yeah, good point. I will go 1 point higher for me at a 66.
Okay. All right, next up we got acting. So starting off, we got Chris Pratt, who did the voice for Garfield. Then we have Harvey Guillen or Guillen, who did the voice for who did the noises, I guess, for Odie. Nicholas Holt, who did the voice for John. Dude, his voice acting is incredible.
Dude, like, seriously. He needs to do more of it.
Yeah. Hannah Waddingham, who did the voice for Jinx. Ving Rhames, who did the voice for Otto. Dude, he was sounding a lot like Keith David.
Yeah, he was.
Then let's see. Cicely Strong, who did the voice for Marge Malone. That's the security chick.
Yeah. And you know what? I just realized I'm so fired. I saved his picture and I forgot to put Sam Jackson on here, who played Garfield's dad.
Oh, no.
My bad.
Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson.
He did the voice for Vic.
I am fired. I'm so sorry, Samuel Jackson. But still love you, man. Amazing actor.
Yeah. All right, what's your top three look like?
You know, even though he's not on here, I'll give number three to Samuel Jackson. Because even though I didn't love the character, I thought he did a decent job with the voice. It was decent. Two, just because, like, I don't know. I loved all of the stuff of classic Garfield. That's what I love so much. So number two, I would actually give to Nicholas Holt, who played John, because his voice was just so great as him. It was fantastic. And I wish that he was in it more. So good. But number one, I'll give it to Chris Pratt. I actually think his voice works for Garfield. I know he doesn't change his voice at all, but I actually liked it. It worked. I just wish that he was in a better Garfield movie, because I actually like him playing Garfield. I think he does a really good job.
Yeah, I fell for this like animation style. Like his voice worked really well for this version of Garfield.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm actually in total agreement with you. Over the
top
three. Yeah, I like Nicholas Holt so much in this role. And I have to give.
Not expecting that at all.
I know, dude. Honestly, if Odie had, gosh, I can't say that if he had like audio lines. Odie was my favorite character by far, but I don't feel good giving him the number one spot for making random noises.
Just a lot of.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Like, honestly, like Chris Pratt probably could have done Odie too. But yeah, so I gotta give. Yeah, if Odie had like, in terms of favorite characters, Odie, like you shift all of these over and put Odie in front, because I mean, I liked Garfield. Like, it's just, I like this characterization. I just didn't care that this adaptation.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
That's a good one. No, that's a good one.
Like I said, if you could have turned this into generic cat number one, like, I would have liked him a whole lot better.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. So what are you sitting at with your acting score?
I think just because, like, everything that, like, the people that, like, don't get me wrong, like, everybody else, like, did do a good job. Like, the voice acting is actually pretty good here. But I feel like Chris Pratt and Nicholas Holt definitely bring it up for me. So I think I'll be at a 76.
I thought they did well enough. I'm not quite in the 80s, but I'm pretty close. Like, I'm closer to like a 79.
Oh, fair.
The actually, you know what? I'll crack 80s. Okay. I don't think anyone did a horrible voice acting job in this. The only one that I might have had an issue with was Cecily Strong, and I think it was just because her character was just a little annoying.
Fair enough.
So I'll go up to like an 82.
Okay.
Like slightly, it's a little bit above average, at least my standard. My standard like average is like 75. But yeah. All right. Next up, we got character development, which obviously we got to do this on Garfield. And this being a kid's movie, he doesn't really have too much growth other than like dealing with the shit with his dad.
Yeah. Like literally all it is, oh, hey, here's this, you know, fat cat that loves lasagna and hates Mondays. Oh, it turns out he. You know, here's his real life dad. Oh, he has daddy issues. Maybe that's not a thing I should say about a kid's movie.
Dude, I thought that the like him being left in that crate while it was raining or whatever, I thought that would have been so much funnier if his dad just like was barely gone for like a few minutes. And then yeah. And then he, like, it's just Garfield thinking, like, his hunger just made it seem like it was so much longer.
But, yeah, like, that
he left me
funny.
There for hours. I was only gone for 5 minutes.
that would have been funny.
That's the route I thought that they were going to go. But then they had this whole, like, oh, this dude took a phone call and it lasted forever. I was like, eh, that's kind of dumb. I think it would have been funnier if it was only like a few minutes.
Dude.
Like, I didn't abandon you. You freaking left me.
Dude, you could write a pretty damn good Garfield movie, I feel.
I don't know if I could do one from scratch. Like, it's the same with like a lot of these movies. Like, and it's kind of a reason, like, I personally have stopped it, like, haven't done a Dreamcast in a while, because it's a very specific film or anything that I could do from scratch. I feel like I could always do like corrections.
Yeah.
And this is what, like, basically what this is like with Garfield. It's like, I'm just listing off corrections I would have made. But yeah, I don't know if I could have done a whole Garfield movie from scratch.
All right.
Like, even coming up with a concept for one is like just on the fly right now is difficult.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, I don't think Garfield had too much development as a character other than like what he dealt with his dad.
Yeah.
So this is probably one of the weaker points for me of the film. And it's the only thing saving this even a little bit is the growth that they had with the dad. After that, I felt like that could have been like a lot more impactful. So this one, I'm probably like a 71, and even that kind of feels high. And it's just, I'm being very forgiving because this is a kid's film.
Yeah, sorry, man. I'm going to be at like a 67.
All right. Next up, we got the animation, which is the high point of this movie.
Yeah, like the animation is actually like good. That's what sucks. Because like Garfield looks good, Odie looks good, John looks good. All these new characters actually look good. Like literally if you it's literally just taken from the comic strip and turned into 3D animation. It's great. Like these designs are fantastic. And like you said, this is one of the highlights of the movie, if not the biggest highlight. So just, I wish, like, for how good the animation is, I just wish it was in a better movie.
Dude, same here. It was beautiful. Very vibrant in terms of, like, yeah, the coloring and everything. Like I freaking love that. And it's just, it's eye catching.
It is. Yeah, it really is.
So yeah, I had close to no issues with this. The only thing I didn't necessarily care for, there was actually a couple points. I remember it looking like it was almost stop motion. Like,
okay.
And I thought my eyes were like glitching out or something, because it was just, it was so jarring those moments. Cause I was like, oh shit. Like I had to do a double take.
Yeah.
So I'm going to dock for that a little bit, but overall I love this animation. So I'm giving this a 92.
I am sorry. I'm not that high, but I am still high. So I think I will be at an 86. So super, super good animation.
I feel like you're giving this movie a really hard time because you just didn't like what they did to Garfield.
Yeah, like honestly, man, like I'm sorry. Like this is, I'm judging this on a Garfield movie. It's called the Garfield movie, and it just wasn't. It wasn't Garfield. Like you said many times, the first 20 minutes, that's how I wanted the rest of the movie.
Well, listen, you can do that with all these other categories. Effects is the one place that I'm calling bullshit, dude. You like the animation, you can go to hell. If you would have given this a lot higher, if you would have liked the story better. I don't do this very often. I'm calling you out. This is supposed to be an unbiased review. An unbiased review of the freaking effects. You know the effects are better than an 86.
All right. He's got a point.
You know what? I just talked myself up. I'm giving the effects a 94.
You son of a bitch. All right. I cracked 90s. That's as high as I'm going. A 90. Suck it.
Unbiased reviews, Rose, and you know damn well that 86 was bullshit. You're just giving this movie a hard time because you don't like what they did to Garfield.
Okay, my question is, what rating did you give the animation for Inside Out 2? Do you remember off the top of your head?
No.
Can you look it up?
Is that possible? I sure can.
Because I swear to God, if you gave this movie higher, I'm going to lose my freaking mind.
Ooh, you know what? Okay, I will retract what I said. I'll take it back down to 92.
What did you give Inside Out to?
Like an 80-something.
Oh, you mother...
Oh, wait. Nope, I was looking at I'm sorry. I gave that a 93. So I will take it down to a 92 because I do feel like that while the animation styles are different, I do feel like Inside Out 2 was a little bit better.
A little?
Dude, fight me.
Pixar. I will fight you. You know what?
Dude, you are the biggest Pixar suck up. In the
I know
world.
I am. Screw your 90. I'm back in the 80s, bitch. 88. I went up 2 points. That's it.
Okay. All right, moving on over to music. The soundtrack was nothing.
I
can't even remember any like songs from this.
There's like I Got the Good Life and I Let It Roll. Those are like the only two that I remember.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure that I Got the Good Life was in the trailer. It's like a decent, all right, pop song.
Yeah, I mean they had like little short clips of songs that I don't really feel should count.
Yeah, fair enough.
So yeah, this is a really average score for me. Like I'm at a 5.
okay, this is like one that like we're kind of different on, because I actually really like the like I Got the Good Life and I Let It Roll. I think I'm gonna be at like a 7.
Okay. All right, next up we got character design, which just looking how these characters looked, I mean they're perfect. They are straight out of the comic.
Yep. It's the same thing with John and Liz. Both those designs were ripped right out of the comic strip as well.
Yeah, so I appreciate them knowing not to mess with a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, this has pretty much everything I'm looking for in terms of like the at least the main characters. The side characters are a little on the iffy side, like design wise. So this is one I'm sitting at a 9, and it's honestly because I feel like the side characters could have been done a little bit better. But the main, it's the original ones, the original characters. I don't think were quite up to snuff. It's the characters from the comics I thought were done beautifully.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree with you. But I do feel because we get so much with those side characters, it does bring me down a little more than you, so I'm going to be at an 8.
Fair enough. All right, next up we got our own personal scores. And I'll start this one off because I feel like I'm going to be a little bit nicer. I, right out of the gate, I'm sitting at a 70. I had a decent enough time with this movie. Probably not one that I'm ever going to go and like rewatch unless, well, I can't say that because I have kids. It's one that my daughter is probably going to want to watch when it comes out on streaming, and she's going to want to rewatch it again like she has with every other movie that we watched. But yeah, I mean, I had a decent time. There was a few good laughs that I had. Other than that, wasn't too impressed. So yeah, I'm sitting at a 70.
Oh, I expected you to be honestly higher. Me, just get my score out of there right now as well. I'm going to be at a 65. It might seem like it, but I did not hate this movie. It's not horrible, but just I expected a lot more from a Garfield movie. If you're going to call something the Garfield movie, it should actually be a story that makes goddamn sense for Garfield. And this movie just didn't. Everything with Garfield, John, and Odie is fantastic. It's just everything else that, well, I thought was all right. Like, I liked it, but I did not love it. And like maybe when this comes to Netflix, I could see myself giving it another round, another try. My opinion probably won't change. We'll see. but yeah, overall 65 for me. It's not horrible, but it's really not that good either.
Yeah. All right, going through these scores real quick. Starting off with story, we ended up averaging out to a 70. The writing got a little bit of a bump, sitting at a 71.5. The acting got a little higher than that, sitting at a 79, so just barely shy of an 80. The character development ended up scoring a 69. The effects are definitely the high point of this film, sitting at a 90. The music is sitting at a 6 out of 10. The costumes, or the character design, are sitting at an 8 out of 10. And then our personal score ended up averaging out to a 67.5. So with that, the final All Bros letter grade for the Garfield movie has come out to a C. Not where I thought this was going to end up.
Where'd you think it was going to end up?
I thought it was going to be in the C minus for sure.
I was really hoping for that, but you know what? It's okay.
Yeah. And surprisingly, it is one of our higher C movies.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, it's pretty close. So our cutoff for a C plus film is a 76, and this ended up scoring a 75.875, which actually ties with our number one C movie, My Spy.
Okay, I can agree with that.
Yeah. I have a feeling that you're going to agree with a lot of where this ranked.
Okay.
So like I said, this ended up scoring a 75.875. So this puts it, let's go below first, because this is the C plus range. This is sitting below Transformers Rise of the Beasts.
Okay.
Which is in the C plus category. It is below Paws of Fury, The Legend of Hank.
I'm trying to decide which one I hated more.
It is below Cocaine Bear.
Oh, okay. Really quickly, speaking of that, sorry. I didn't know this when I was at Walmart today, because I wanted to make sure I got that Saw X Steelbook. I didn't know this. They released a Steelbook for Cocaine Bear. And I was kind of tempted to buy it. Yeah, it was a cool design. And I was tempted to buy it, but then I remember, you know what? I hated that movie, really. So never mind.
Well, you liked it a little bit more than Garfield movie.
All right, I'm going to have to rewatch it now.
All right. It is below The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard.
All right, yeah, I can agree with that one.
And then it is below Disenchanted.
Okay.
All right. Going the opposite direction, it is sitting above Orion and the Dark.
I think I can agree with that, actually.
I can, too. Absolutely. It is above The Addams Family. That one's a little bit of a closer call, but I still agree with that.
Yeah, fair enough.
It is above Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I didn't realize Ant-Man and the Wasp was that low.
That's one of those ones that got scored by a guest. I don't think it needed to be that low, but
yeah, seriously.
It's definitely on the lower end, though.
Yeah, fair enough.
It is above The Rise of Skywalker.
No, I disagree with that.
Bullshit!
I will defend The Rise of Skywalker. I will never defend The Last
Jedi. The Rise of Skywalker is trash.
No. The two Star Wars movies that I will always defend are The Force Awakens and The Rise of Skywalker. Always. So suck it.
All right. And then finally, it is above Venom. Above Venom. Sorry.
All right. I agree with that.
Just going through some like other animated films, since we only had like a couple. It's above Scoob.
You know what? Okay, so this is actually like a perfect comparison, because I feel both don't understand their source material that well
whatsoever.
And I do feel I liked Garfield more than Scoob. I never thought I'd say that.
Yep. But yeah, so that's where it is sitting. And I think it has a pretty decent home.
Yeah. I will.
Like, there's a couple like iffy ones, like the Ant-Man and the Wasp one. I'm like, meh, but that's just because someone else scored that with us.
Yeah. And you know, The Rise of Skywalker, that's, you know.
No, The Rise of Skywalker is in the perfect location.
All right. How many times have you seen The Rise of Skywalker?
Like in total?
Yeah.
Three.
Damn it. I was hoping it would only have been once when we saw in theaters.
No,
changing your mind then.
No. So I actually, since Rise of Skywalker has come out, I've gotten on a couple Star Wars kicks, and I've just kind of made my way through like all of the original stuff. And then I was still on a kick, and I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll watch the new ones. And yeah, my feelings about Rise of Skywalker are the same.
All right. Well, before I try to bring Caleb to the Rise of Skywalker side more.
You won't.
Yeah, I know. Okay. All right. My question really quickly is Solo good? Do you like Solo?
I liked Solo. Okay. I know objectively it's not the best movie in the world, but I enjoyed it.
Okay. I can't remember. Did we do Solo? We did. Didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Where did that one end up? Oh, I could just search. Duh. We gave that one a B.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good score.
Yeah, I stand by that.
Yeah. All right, well, unless you got anything else you want to say about Garfield.
Nope. Glad okay. It's over. Yeah. This one is
we're excited for the sequel.
Yeah.
Wink, this, wink.
The movie was trash, but the breakdown was fun.
Yeah.
And those are usually the best ones.
Dude, seriously, why is it like the shittiest movies make for the funnest breakdowns?
Yeah, because it does. Maybe because it doesn't feel like we're kissing the movie's ass.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't know, man. With some of those scores, it felt like you were. But I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, shit. Well, before Caleb jumps through this computer screen at me, if you liked what you heard and you want to hear more from us, you can be sure to check us out literally wherever you listen to podcasts. We are damn near everywhere. Spotify, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio. I'm blanking on the rest. Just if there's a certain platform you listen to a podcast on, I am sure we are there. If you want to check out any of our social media, you can find us at The Albros. You can find us on Facebook, X, should have stuck as Twitter, but whatever, Instagram, and TikTok. If you want to check out our website, you can do so, tinyurl.com/user/TheAlbrosChannel. Or you can check out our merch store. tpublic.com/user/TheAlbrosChannel. That's what that one is. So next week is kind of up in the air right now. We're in between two things, and we're trying to decide what we want to do. It will be a mystery for you guys. You'll find out next week.
Yeah, it's going to be between one of two. It's either going to be Despicable Me 4, and I'm going to go see that one first. And if I feel like it's another one of like these movies where we could just rip to shreds, we might do it. Or it's going to be, what's that other one called? Family Affair?
Yeah. So
it'll be that one.
Yeah. So it'll be one of those two way different movies.
Two very different movies.
But you can look forward to one of those next week. But until then, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we will catch you guys next week. Deuces.
So long.